We turn this morning to that first chapter of Leviticus that we read a moment ago. And our text for this morning is verse 5 of Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 5. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Sadly, even amongst some of the Lord's people today, the Old Testament scriptures are often misunderstood. And the conception is widespread that in the Old Testament there is a majoring upon the wrath of God and God's judgment. But in reality, the very opposite is true, because it is in the Old Testament scriptures that God reveals himself, the one who is the giver of life. We read in the creation, in the early chapters of Genesis, how God created Adam in his own image, and he breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And throughout the Old Testament, we read of the many blessings upon God's people, upon men and women like you and like me. And it is in the Old Testament scriptures that we read so often of the mercy and grace of the great Creator God to sinful and rebellious men and women. And our text this morning, in a wonderful way, reveals God's grace. The provision that a sinner can be accepted in his sight and in his presence. And we read in our text that the priests, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And if we look at the verse that goes before, verse 4, then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. We read there of the necessity. If we are to come into the presence of a holy God, then there must be an atonement. And that word atonement means a covering for sin. That's what an atonement is. It's a covering for sin. And why does sin need this atonement, this covering? Well, we read in the scriptures that it is our sins that have separated us from our God. It is our sins that have cut us off from God. Isaiah puts it like this: but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And furthermore, we read in the scriptures that all have sinned without exception. Everyone that is born into this world is born in sin. And there is a very challenging verse in the book of Numbers. And it says, be sure your sins will find you out. So our greatest need is for an atonement, for a covering of our sins. Because we cannot cleanse ourselves. We cannot cover our sins. God has said, be sure your sins will find you out. Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, when they sinned against God, they thought they could cover their sin. They sought to hide from the Lord their God. That they made those aprons out of fig leaves. They sought to cover themselves. But we cannot cover our sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. But God, in his great grace and mercy, has provided a covering. There is this atonement that we read of here in the book of Leviticus. And we're going to look at our text this morning under three headings. Firstly, we're going to consider the killing of the sacrifice. Secondly, we're going to consider the meaning of the blood. And then thirdly, we're going to see that that meaning of the blood is fulfilled in the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. Firstly, then, the killing of the sacrifice. We read in verse 3, if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf. And that literally means that the person who brought the animal, this beast that was to be offered as a burnt offering, he was to put his hands upon the head of that offering. He was to literally lean his whole weight upon the head of that animal. And that was a picture. That was through faith, as he laid his hands upon the head of the beast, there was a transference of guilt. The guilt of the one bringing the offering, the guilt of their sin, was transferred. It was laid upon the head of the animal that was to be the burnt offering. And of course, that animal, that sacrifice, as with all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, that they were a pointer, they were looking forward to the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And then, having laid his hands, having leant upon the head of the animal, and that symbolic transferring of the guilt of sin, the animal was to be killed. He shall kill the bull before the Lord. And the priest's Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. The animal was to be killed, and the blood was drained from the animal. And the priests were to collect that blood in a basin and then sprinkle or splash it upon the altar. And that took place, as we read in verse 11, on the north side of the altar. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord, and the priest's Aaron's son shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. Now, we live in a society, we live in a day when we are not familiar with the shedding of blood. If today, if this morning, you are a meat eater, our meat is prepared for us. And unless you've visited an abattoir, we're not familiar with the shedding and the draining of blood. Our meat comes for us neatly packaged on the supermarket shelves. But as we read the Old Testament scriptures, there is much written. God has spoken much concerning blood and sacrifice. And it's vital for us to understand the meaning and the significance of this. And so secondly then, the meaning of the blood. We all know what blood is. Perhaps we're a bit squeamish and we don't like the sight of blood. But have we ever stopped to think what a wonderful thing, what a marvelous thing blood is? Our hearts pump blood around our bodies. If we're unwell, modern medicine can discover most ailments and most physical maladies from taking a sample of blood and analysing that blood. Our blood is something that is truly wonderful. That's why the psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. But what we're concentrating on this morning is that in the Old Testament, when we read of the blood, it is a symbol. It is a word picture referring to death, and often violent death. Do you remember when Jacob sent Joseph to see how his brothers were faring? And you'll remember how Joseph's brothers hated Joseph. Jacob favoured Joseph, and that caused his brothers to hate him. And Joseph went off, and he was wearing that brightly coloured robe that his father had made for him. And when he met his brothers, they at first determined to kill him, but one of the brothers mediated for him, and in the end he was sold into slavery. But you'll remember what the brothers did, and we read in Genesis 37 at verse 31, "They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colours, and they brought it to their father, and they said, 'This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or not.' And he knew it, and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces.'" And so the blood there spoke. It spoke powerfully of a violent death. The brothers dipped the coat in the blood and they took it to their father, and their father jumped to the conclusion, he assumed, that Joseph was dead. The blood spoke of a violent death. If we look at, say, Psalm 30, and verse 9, Psalm 30 and verse 9, we read again, and here clearly, where blood is mentioned, it speaks of death. "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth?" Blood in the Old Testament speaks of death. when the death penalty was carried out under the law of Moses, if a murderer was to be put to death. It speaks of avenging the blood. Blood speaks of death. When God challenged Cain concerning his brother Abel, God said to Cain these words, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." You see, blood speaks of a violent death. Cain had murdered Abel, and God said to Cain, "Your brother's blood speaks to me from the ground." When blood is separated from the body, it speaks of a life poured out. It speaks of a life taken. It speaks of death. There are at least three places in the scriptures that we read that life is in the blood. The first reference is Genesis 9 and verse 4. "But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." And we read in the 17th chapter of the book that we're in, Leviticus 17 and verse 11. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." God is the giver of life. And that is why murder is such an awful and a terrible sin. It is a taking of that which God has given. God has given life, and we do not have that right to take life. And it was forbidden for men and women to drink the blood, because by divine appointment, God had ordained that the blood of the animal sacrifice was to make atonement for sin, to bring about the cleansing and the atonement. "Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priests Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting." Do you remember in the Old Testament when God, with a mighty hand, brought his people out of the bondage and captivity and slavery of Egypt? That there were the 9 plagues that didn't move Pharaoh's heart. And then there was the 10th plague. And on that solemn night, the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt. But God's people, those who obeyed the word of the Lord, were safe. Why were they safe? Because they had killed the lamb, and they had daubed the posts of their dwellings, the doorposts and the lintel. They had daubed it with the blood of the lamb. And the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, and he passed over the houses where the blood was daubed. You see, a life was poured out. The life of the Lamb was poured out, that there may be deliverance, there may be an atonement for those who were sheltering under the blood of the Lamb. And so we see here in our text this morning the grace and the mercy of our God. As the priests brought the blood of the burnt offering, and they brought it to the altar, and they sprinkled and they splashed it all over that altar. The animal, the burnt offering, had been sacrificed. His life had been given. The life had been poured out, and the blood was brought before God upon the altar. And the sinner that deserved to die, atonement is made. There is a covering in the blood for that sinner. It is the great doctrine, the wonderful doctrine, the great Christian doctrine of substitutionary death. The animal died in the place of the sinner. The blood is sprinkled. The blood that makes atonement. The blood that speaks of a covering for sin. And as we move on to the great prophecies in the Old Testament scripture, we read in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 45 and verse 22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And God's way of salvation, God's provision for sinful men and women, is through that atonement, the blood of atonement, the blood that covers the sin. The burnt offering is sacrifice, and the blood is sprinkled. Thirdly, then, the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. The hymn writer puts it like this, Isaac Watts. He puts, wrote these words: "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." And there we have it, you see. All the blood of beasts. If you read through the Old Testament, the daily sacrifices, the monthly sacrifices, the sacrifices on the great feast days, it was endless. There was constant sacrificing of animals. There was constant shedding of their blood. But not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars lain could give our guilty conscience peace. So what was it all about? What was the purpose of it? What was the meaning of it? Well, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were types. They were shadows. They were directing forward, looking forward to the coming of the Lamb of God. Do you remember John the Baptist, the man raised up of God to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ? And he was there in the wilderness. He was preaching repentance and baptism. And then one day he sees Jesus coming. And he says to his disciples, those who were following John, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lamb of God, is the one who fulfills all the sacrifices that we read of, the multiplicity of sacrifices in the Old Testament. And this meaning of blood, speaking of death, violent death, is carried on into the New Testament as well. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, the Paul writing to the church at Colossae, he speaks of the blood of his cross. He speaks of Christ's death, the pouring out of Christ's life, the blood of his cross. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to give his life a ransom for many. And when his life was poured out upon that cross at Calvary, when that precious blood was so freely shed, atonement was made. There is a covering for the sins of all who will call upon his name. So John can write, and he can say, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Not all the blood of bulls and goats, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain, but the blood of the Lamb of God cleanses from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the blood in Scripture speaks of a life poured out. It speaks of a life given in the place of others. We're reading in Leviticus of the burnt offering, and the whole animal, apart from the skin, was consumed on the fire of the altar. It was a burnt offering. The whole animal was to be consumed. And the Lamb of God, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, he was our burnt offering. On Calvary's cross, he was consumed. He gave his whole, the wrath of God in its totality for our sins fell upon him, the Lamb of God. He was our burnt offering. He shed his blood. His life was poured out. And we go back to Leviticus and we read in verse 9. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. What does that mean? How could that burning carcass of an animal be a sweet aroma to the Lord? We read a similar thing in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And we read there that Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. What does that mean? Well, it means in the Old Testament that when the people were obedient, when they brought those sacrifices that God had prescribed, when they trusted in God's way of salvation, those sacrifices were accepted through faith. And when the Son of God, he who was with God from all eternity, he who spoke this world into creation, when he became man, when he took our flesh and our bone, when he went to Calvary's cross. He was doing it in obedience to his Father's will. And his sacrifice on Calvary was a sweet-smelling aroma to his Father in heaven. And this morning, if you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know that Christ has atoned for your sins, that his blood has covered your sins, all our sins, all our transgressions are hid from his view through that precious blood. How we should worship, how we should praise, how we should love and adore the God of our salvation. We are accepted before a thrice holy God because of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought, if you were the only sinner to have ever sinned against God, then it would still be necessary for the Lamb of God to shed his blood to atone for your sin. And that is what God has done. That is the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, his provision for our greatest need. The eternal Son became a man because it was man who sinned against God, and it is man who must pay the penalty. And he came as the perfect man. Adam was created in perfection, and he disobeyed God. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the last Adam, the perfect man. And in his body, he paid the penalty, the innocent in the place of the guilty. That is love beyond compare. Charles Wesley wrote, "Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down." And he came down to shed his blood, that blood that speaks of a violent death, that blood that speaks of a life poured out, that blood alone that can atone, make a covering for the sins of men and women. How is it with your soul this morning? Have your sins been atoned for? Have you received of the grace and the mercy of God? We read of all these sacrifices in the Old Testament, and their purpose was to point us, to point the people to trust in the God who would send a Saviour. That was God's great promise in the Garden of Eden. "I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed," he said to the serpent. And that was fulfilled in the coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the one who shed his precious blood that we might be cleansed and forgiven. Let us pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for this God-breathed book. We thank Thee for this Word that reveals to us that way of salvation. "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And God has provided that way of salvation. And we see it in types and shadows. We see it in all the sacrificial system under Moses. But how we thank thee that with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was the coming of the fullness of grace and truth. And he came as the Lamb of God. He came to pour out his life. And through the blood of the cross, guilty sinners can know peace with God. And just as in the Old Testament, the hand was laid upon the head of the burnt offering, and the guilt was transferred. So there upon Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took the guilt, and he took the shame, and he paid the penalty to save his people from their sins. And Lord, we bow in thy presence, and we say, hallelujah, what a Saviour. In whose name we pray. Amen.